name is Charlene, an addict.
Charlene.
I guess I speak a little louder. I like to say God is good. And I came to this fellowship over 30 years ago. My story is a little like Brina's in that I went to college. I was always fast. I went to college at 16 and graduated at 20. I figured, you know, just keep it moving quickly. But in college, I got in a little trouble. Came to D.C. and I took some drugs back to Hampton to sell. I wasn't trying to get rich. I was just trying to have drugs there for the kids at Hampton. And I was trying to have free drugs for me and my sister said we can have some free, get free high, you know. And we had plenty of friends, you know. But what happened was that I got arrested with possession of heroin and cocaine. And I got charged with the Harrison Narcotic Act. And I was looking at a lot of time, the both of us was. And I said, well, you know, it didn't make sense for both of us to go to jail for the same crime. So I told my sister, I'll plead guilty if they drop the charges against you. And she said, no, I'll plead guilty. Then I said, no, I'll plead guilty. And she didn't say nothing. So I went to jail, I pleaded guilty. I love my sister. And she loved me too, because when I was in jail, I reminded her, now I'm doing this bit for the both of us. And on your next visit, you need to come with some drugs. And she did. You know, and I thought that was love, but y'all said that was insanity. But I came around when it was not a whole lot of women and a whole lot of people in the program. It wasn't a whole lot of nothing. It wasn't a whole lot of meetings, but it was a whole lot of unity and a whole lot of love.
Yeah.
And we made it. And I kind of wrestled with this topic too. You know, being a loner. I said, well, you know, I always went to meetings. You know, I always kind of did my little service work. I just recently stepped down from my position as a GSR, you know, at the East of the River. But I can say that I have been somewhat of a loner throughout my recovery. Now I can recall I only had like two home groups too in all these years. And I was in a home group for many, many years. And I was trying to get my sister back into going to meetings. And she was going to one meeting. And then she ended up in my home group. That was her home group. And I said, wait a minute there. So I discussed it with my sponsor. And she said, well, you know what? Since she had me going to meetings for all these years, maybe you don't think about it. Maybe you move on. Let her have your home group. So I ended up at East of the River. I felt isolated because I was a part of that home group for 15 years. And when you keep seeing the same people year after year, they become like part of your life. And I felt a little isolated because when I went to this new meeting, I didn't feel real comfortable even sharing certain things. And even in our literature, the new literature, Living Clean, it talks about the old timer. Sometimes you're going to be the old timer in one of these meetings. And sometimes being an old timer, people come to you. They look at you for advice, for solutions. But the old timer also needs help. And also in that literature tells you that the old timers sometimes have to listen to the newcomer or who has less time than you. You know, sometimes I was sitting in the meetings and I felt a little isolated. Because it was like maybe like a newcomer friendly type of meeting. And their pain was fresh and their situation was different. And I didn't want to share behind all this pain. But something told me, no, you got to share the goodness of the program. You got to share your story, Charlene. Now, even though they may not be where you are, but you need to share where they can go, where they can get to. And this program is not about material things, but when you come around and do certain things, you will gain material things. See, this program has so much to offer. You know, freedom from addiction. But what is your addiction? Okay, let's talk about that. Because a lot of us come around the drugs are no longer a problem. Some of us go to meetings for many, many, many years and we isolate ourselves from the exact nature, the disease. Because really, this is just a symptom. Drugs and alcohol are just a symptom of why we're here. But to understand them things that happened to us before we've been picked up, that's where we got to start at. And if you never do the work, you'll never be who God wants you to be. But what's going to end up happening, you're going to be in the program for many, many years, just not using, but you still got the same issues that you had when you came in. I don't care how many years ago it was. And you will be reminded of those issues. You may kind of like turn your head. You may stuff them down. You may not want to address those issues, but some issues will address you at some point in your life. And oftentimes, some issues going to come out in your behavior. You know, why do I feel the way I feel? You know, right now, I'm not going through a really good time right now. My mom is transitioning. And my relationship with my family makes me feel in isolation. So you can be isolated from your family too. And your family can cause you so much pain and they don't know it because they have not been in touch with certain things or feelings of love and concern. And sometimes they operate on outside worldly things. I felt real bad on Easter Sunday. I wasn't even invited to Easter Sunday dinner at with my mom. But because I have a program, God told me, Charlene, pick yourself up, call a sponsee, and if you got to drive, I drove 100 miles one way to go to an anniversary, didn't we?
That's right.
See, sometimes in life, God already knew what I was going to be going through years ago.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay, he knew it. And see, he was preparing me.
Yeah.
And when I was no longer feeling comfortable at that Sunday morning meeting,
right,
I started going to church. See, a lot of times things happen to you that may feel uncomfortable, but they're good for you. And you don't know when it happens that it's a good thing happening for you. And what the good news is that I haven't missed many Sundays in church. See, if you got to get it some kind of way. You got to come to meetings. You got to get a sponsor. You got to do some step work. You don't get it in step work, you may have to get some outside therapy. And you got to go to church. If you ain't doing none of these things, what are you operating on? You're the same person you were when you was using. And see, some of us got these strongholds in our life that's so deep that we really don't even want to look at. What's going on that causes me to do these things? One thing for sure, everybody has something to work on. And none of us get away free in that area, okay? If you don't work on nothing, what normally happens, there's a debt to pay. And what it is that we miss out on is the freedom to get better. The freedom to make it right. I mean, come on, all these years, you don't want it at the end of the road living with all these regrets. You know, I wish I would have made amends. You know, I wish I would have incorporated the steps in my life. See, sometimes God have assignments for us. And whether you know it or not, God got assignments for each of us. And your assignment could be to tell somebody, you know what, that ain't right. You know, now I feel a little isolated because I didn't come into this world alone. I came into this world with my sister. You know, we shared the same womb at the same time. So you know I'm in a lot of pain. We used to talk 5-6 times every day. Not some days, I'm talking about every day. We used to talk 5-6 times. But, you know, things happened to me for a reason too. You know, I look back over my life and I think about, you know what? I made a good decision. And you got to listen in this program too. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm listening to on people too. And they talking about going to therapy. I said, well, I don't know about that therapy business. Maybe I got to give it a try. So I asked my daughter on to go to therapy. And she's highly, highly intelligent. And she agreed because she probably had some information for the therapy, right? But, what we found out through therapy, the therapist said, look, the problem is not so much with the two of you, the problem is with the two sisters. The two sisters get together, the family gonna fall in place. He says, that's the way God will work. You know, my father passed away 3 years ago, and he was like the anchor of our family. You know, some people got big mama, I had a big daddy. Okay? My father was out everything. There's nothing that my father wouldn't do for me. My father told me no. One time in my life, we used to bug him all the time. We used to go down his job and we'd be sick. Daddy, could you give her $20? It started off like 50 and we then it went down to 20. After so many visits, you know? Got to go down a little bit. But the only time my father told me no, I was in there on his house. I don't know what happened, what I did, but the police was looking for me. And the police knocked on the door and I looked out. I said, Daddy, it's the police. I said, look, Daddy, you know I'm a twin. I said, tell the police I'm Cheryl. Don't let them know I'm Charlene. I said, we got pictures and evidence to show that you got twins, ma'am. I said, Dave, please don't tell the man I'm Charlene, ma'am. The man opened the door. My dad opened the door. And the police officer said, I'm looking for Charlene Killings. And I was saying, she ain't here. And Dad said, Here she is. I said, oh my God, Daddy, I ain't been to the clinic yet. I knew I had a long morning, right? But that's the type of father my father was. He was a man of honor, of truth. You know, he was just such a great man. You know, he took on the responsibility of raising his twin daughters when we were like 15 years old. And that's a big responsibility, a dad with two little twin daughters. But I think he did a good job. He sent us to college, and he was proud, so proud that we got our lives together. So you come around this program, and it becomes personal. Is it what you want out of life? You know, it may come a time when just the clothes, the women, the money, the men ain't going to fix you. It's going to be an inside job. You know, you got to forgive people. And through therapy, you know, she said, your assignment is to forgive. That's what I want you to work on forgiveness. And then I had to tell my sister. I thank my sister for all the times that she was there for my daughter when my daughter couldn't come to me. I thanked her for that. She said, you do that for you. Not for her, but for you. She said, a lot of times in life, you don't understand the freedom that you will get, you know, when you do what you're told. You may not understand, but you just kind of, you know, have faith in the information that is going to work for you. You know, I come around and and see, God knew I was going to be in this place many, many years ago. So what he did for me is gave me the ability and the love to be really engaged in sponsorship. And, you know, we've been having meetings for like maybe 20-something years. And they don't know how much they mean to me. You know, I can't talk to everybody about certain things, but I can talk to some people about everything. So you need to find somebody that you need to talk to, and hopefully that somebody going to give you the right information. Because that may be your assignment. That may be your best girlfriend, but they may say, well, Charlene, you know what? Just think about this. Is it really proper? Because then that person's program is going to have to kick in place. She said, we can't no longer co-sign insanity and bad behavior. Because some of us are co-signing because we ain't doing nothing. Because see, a lot of times, you know, misery wants company. And you ain't doing no work, hey, guess what? When somebody else ain't doing no work, it's all right. But see, some things in life, you got to do for yourself. I don't care how many years and how many steps, or whatever your sponsor is doing, you got to do some things for yourself. And your program is going to kick in. And the way it works is that each one teach one. You know, we have a newcomer in the group. And I told her the other day, you got to keep coming back because you are going to be assigned to give the message. Because this program ain't going to stop right here now. We got generational issues going on in our families. Okay? So they're still using drugs out there. So we still going to need, and I ain't going to be here forever. Hopefully I'll be here for another maybe 30 years. Okay. Yeah, 30 years. I appreciate 30 years. You know? And let me tell you. Well, I'm going to tell you how good this program is. We don't even have to isolate about our health issues. You know, some of us got some things going on with us and we ain't talking about.
That's right.
But I'm gonna tell you what my spirit told me. I'm a kind of private person. You know, most of my life, you know, I don't say a lot of things out openly in meetings. But my spirit told me to tell people there is a cure for hepatitis C.
That's right.
I'm not talking about not being detected. I'm talking about there is a cure.
Right.
And also the message is they're going may deny you. But it's something you can do about that too. See, some battles in life, you will have to fight for yourself. Some battles in this in your lifetime is not worth fighting. You know, someone, you know, even when you win a battle and you don't feel all that good because it really wasn't worth it. But there's some battles that you need to fight for with every ounce in your body. If it's a battle to save your recovery, to save your marriage, to save my relationship with my daughter and my sister, I'm going to fight for that battle. You do all you can do. Then what do you do next? If it still ain't working out, you let God fight the battle.
Right.
You let God fight it, because I do know the power of Jesus. Okay? I do know about that. See, because he worked for me throughout this on 31 years. But he really was working for me when I was out there using. But I didn't realize it because I didn't know his voice. All them days that I injected solution in my own body could have been rat poison. He spared my life. I'm going to tell you how crazy I was. They had some drugs in D.C. that was killing folks. What, killing people? I get in my damn Volkswagen. I wouldn't even stop over here. Like, I flew across town because that's what I wanted to get. I wanted to buy the drugs that was killing people. Because after all, I knew how to put it in. They did it too quick. They don't know what to do. They need to take it easy. They need to do a little bit at a time, see what the effects are. See if you're still alive. If you're still alive, you need to do a little bit more. But you don't take it out, right? Because you may not get another hit, right? I tell you, see, y'all laughing with me, not at me. Because some of y'all understand.
That's right.
You know, I came around right before the crack. So I don't know nothing about no crack. But I do know about cocaine and heroin. And about that reefer, right? And when I went to college, I did everything, right? I tell you, those were good old days. I think I was the smart one of the bunch. I took my sister's French test for her. I went to Honey Way. I knew her in high school, right? And as a matter of fact, in junior high school, we played on the same softball team, didn't we, honey? I took her during our high school test. She said, "Hey, you take the test." I said, "I'm not in the class." And then she passed that test, too. I said, "I'll be there." And then I went down to visit her at Virginia Union, and she used me again. I had me take another damn test. And my dear old sister, her last final year in college. Yeah, I'm telling today. The final year in college, she takes elective, don't go to class the whole semester, and at the end, she gonna ask me to take her test. Because we look alike, I went and took that test, and I think she passed it for B too. I think they owe me something, don't y'all? Hey, yo, there's a whole lot of issues going on there, isn't it? That was back in 1970. There you go. Thank you, Tasha. Hey, look, because when I came in here, this one of guys said, "Miss, I just want to tell you, you're beautiful." I heard him, but I said, "What'd you say?" He said, "You're beautiful." I said, "You made my day." But I'm going to wrap it up. And I want to wrap it up and say that you can have anything you want in this lifetime. You can have a hut or a castle. You know, dream big. And don't let nobody come in between you and your dreams. Because when your dreams die, you die. See, we often wonder why. Because some of us put in a little bit more work than others. You know, some of us want to ride the wagon that the other people pull. Okay, they want you to do the work, and they want a free ride. You know, they don't want to ask you work and get jobs and part-time jobs. They want to come up here and you whatever. But it's what you want to do in your life. You know, have something to aspire for. And with that, I'm going to say thank you. I want to thank my sponsees. I have a sponsee from North Carolina who drove all the way, yes indeed, to support me. And I want to tell my sister I love you so much. I know you love me. Everybody know you love me. But we're going to work on this thing, right? Okay, y'all heard it.